Welcome back to Racecast, everyone. Now, a little bit disappointing the weekend. It feels a bit anticlimactic coming and sitting here to talk about the race weekend that has just unfolded. But I guess we do have to keep the neutral perspective of this is probably very exciting for Red Bull fans. So we're here. We are going to tackle this episode with joy. We're not going to act depressed like we truly are. We're gonna
Did you see the race from Max Verstappen this weekend? It was phenomenal. He mastered that this weekend. Phenomenal work. It's really hard. It's really hard to get positive about it.
It's a piece of cake in that car. But do not fear. This week, there is no metronome playing through the episode. Now, I'll just touch on this very quickly before I do the typical intro. You might have heard a clicking noise going through. It was changed fairly quickly.
Was it like 24 hours?
Yeah,
later.
It was like a day. There was a clicking noise going through the episode, and basically, it's because when I exported it through Logic, for whatever reason, it exported it with a metronome. Now, I don't actually listen back to the exported version. Like, I listen to it back before I export it, which maybe is a rookie mistake. But I listened to it before I exported it or like bounced it, and it was like fine. And then Matt messages me like the next day, just like, why is there like a click going through the whole episode? And it was because there was a metronome, so I changed it very quickly.
Well, I was driving on the way home, and I thought, I'll just check the audio and everything. And I was like, what is this noise? So I had to turn the radio off. I shut down Spotify, restarted it. I was like, no, it's definitely an issue. But a massive shout out, should we say, to the guys on Instagram.
Well, actually, because I was going to segue into this. Next time, message us sooner.
Well, I mean,
how long was it?
Well, they did message on the day it happened, but we just didn't see it.
You didn't see it. But if you do want to message us, make sure you follow at Racecast Insta. On Instagram, that is where we're most active, but you can also follow us on Twitter and TikTok. Just search Racecast. Actually, there's no point following the TikTok anymore because we don't actually film the episodes anymore. So maybe we could get some like AI creation. And we could create like a cartoon version of our podcast through AI. I'm sure that's possible. Yeah. If someone knows how to do that, do it and we'll look into it. But yeah, obviously you are listening to us on some form of audio platform such as Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts. That's a thing, yeah. Believe it or not. Google Podcasts, wherever you're listening to us, give us 5 stars. It really does help us out. And we do appreciate every single rating. So we're not gonna go on any further. If there is a metronome, fucking tell us now. I am gonna make sure there's not. So we're gonna crack on.
All right, guys. Yeah, what I was gonna say is shout out to Nathan Moore. He said there is a very particular noise when listening on Spotify. Charlie.Norris said yes, but the audio is fucked. So yeah, thank you to you guys for getting in touch with that. That's very helpful.
Two people. Now, I know that
we have three people listening, so where's the third person telling us?
There is multiples of hundreds. Where are all of you? Just message us. If there's a click going through the episode, if his tone of voice is annoying you a little bit or he keeps sniffling like he just did then, tell us. Maybe not that, because we don't really care about that. But if there is an annoying click going through, or, for example, if the microphones keep breaking up, tell us.
Do tell us, yeah,
and,
we need to know.
We can fix that issue pretty easily.
Yeah, no, definitely. Welcome along. It is, Tuesday now, so a couple of days after the race. And firstly, congratulations, Red Bull. Sixth constructors.
Now say that and mean it.
No. Congratulations, I can't even say it. Congratulations, Red Bull, on your sixth Constructors World Championship. It's impressive. It is impressive.
It is impressive.
If you're Ted Kravitz, he kept saying consecutive. I don't know if you listened to it at the end. For like 4 times, he said, you know, Red Bull, 6 consecutive. No, it's 2 consecutive.
2 consecutive.
They've won 6 Constructors World Championships.
They have won 6.
So, you know,
they
congratulations.
Won 4 consecutively.
They did. And it's not easy. It's not easy, and it's impressive when any team does this. And we've said this throughout the year. The dominance of this Red Bull is outrageous. So fair play to you. I think you've done a great job, you know. And it's down to the other teams to actually step up and, you know, come to the table, isn't it? Really,
I'm not even sure that's possible. at this point.
No, not in the slightest. But I do, and we do give credit where it's due. And I think Red Bull, from the drivers, from the mechanics, from
whoa. You said drivers, plural.
Okay, driver.
Yeah.
Max Verstappen. The work that they've done behind the scenes. And obviously, we went to Red Bull earlier this year. And the work that goes behind to get these cars to where they are is phenomenal. And, you know, Red Bull have done a brilliant job with that.
I'm curious. Would Red Bull, with adjusted points here,
yeah,
would Red Bull have won the Constructors' Championship with just Max Verstappen? So assume they had one driver, which means that, like, say Perez came second and Lewis Hamilton came third, it would actually mean that Lewis came third. Does that make sense? We're not going to be able to work it out because, obviously, mathematically at the moment, yeah, Max would be leading it on his own because he's got like 400 points or something, hasn't he?
So he's got 400, 223 for Perez, so that takes him to 623. Hamilton's got 190. I mean...
It would be too hard to adjust. But if someone does know that, try and
Maybe not at this point, but Verstappen being on 400 points already, you know, Hamilton's on 190.
Yeah, but like, would Russell, Hamilton be on like 230 without Perez? Do you see my point?
Yeah, true. I get your point.
Like, you have to adjust all the points. But if someone knows that, or if that is something that has been worked out, point us in that direction. If not, work it out.
I just loved it all weekend. You know, they were going, oh, you know, Perez has been a fundamental part of this. Like crap he is. I mean, you know, granted, he's contributed 223 points. Brilliant. Get that. But they could have won the Constructors probably months ago.
Could they have actually won it before the summer break?
If Perez had got P2 when he was expected to,
because they should have won two,
or shortly after,
yeah, very very shortly after.
But I generally do mean that. I think when you look at Red Bull and what they are as a team, yes, okay, they're not my favourite team, but credit where credit's due, they've gone off and they've done a phenomenal job there, and it's really nice to see any team do well. You know, we were like that with Mercedes when we saw that.
No, it's not.
But
it's nice to see Mercedes. You know, there are teams I would rather see do well.
Yeah, I'd rather see Alpine win it. Do you know what I mean?
That's like saying, oh, it's really, you know, as a Man United fan, it's really nice to see City bringing the title home every year.
Yeah,
it's not nice.
Okay, what I mean,
I wish Red Bull had to drive on three wheels because they couldn't afford a fourth.
Yeah, but they'll still probably win. But what I mean is, I appreciate any team for what they achieve because there's a lot of work that goes into it. You know, whether that's Formula One, whether it's football, whether it's NFL, whatever. So much work goes into a success of a team. So that's what I mean by
it. You have to admire the greatness. But there are obviously hints of irony from that team where, you know, they were always the ones complaining about Mercedes dominance. And now they're sort of coming out being like, well, you know, you should appreciate all this. And it's like...
And we've also got to remember, Red Bull were only a few years ago threatening to pull out if things didn't change.
Yeah, so
they were threatening to leave the sport because they didn't want Mercedes dominance.
And now Max thinks that fans that don't appreciate his dominance aren't true fans of the sport. But there are many quotes saying that, like, well, fans must find it boring with Lewis just winning all the time.
Yeah.
But yeah, funny how people change their tune.
Yeah.
But anyway, this isn't a Red Bull round session. They've won the Constructors for the second year in a row, the sixth time in their history. And we could not be happier for them, as you can tell by the sounds
of our voices. Buzzing. But
we are going to crack on and talk about some other news that hopefully doesn't involve Red Bull, unless we're talking about Sergio Perez losing his seat because the man does not know how to drive anymore.
No, before we get into that, I found it's quite some interesting posts. So before we get into talking about the Japanese Grand Prix, I want to discuss car damage and the cost of car damage.
Oh, yeah. Now, this is interesting.
So this was after the Singapore Grand Prix. So I don't have the stats from what it is now as such. Because I don't think the... Oh, is that the... Oh, maybe I do, actually. Maybe I do. No, I do. So let's go by driver. And it's a bit of a game. You can play at home. let us know on Instagram. We'll probably pick it up 24 hours later. You probably got like a guitar noise being playing now.
Someone moving their bins. They seem to have been doing that for about 10 minutes.
I like what you said there. They've been doing that for a while. I like it.
But I said they've been.
All right, mate. How you been? So, what driver? There's a grand total of $27.5 million. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Of damage.
Yeah.
So, in 20th, what driver with $220,000 of worth of damage?
Now, this is an easy one because the man has spent 95% of the season in P1.
Yep.
Max, that's gotta be.
Yep.
He's not even had like. I genuinely think that $220,000 worth of damage would be where he pulled out from his pit box and from his garage and went into the wall randomly. I genuinely think that's the only place that he's picked up damage.
Yeah, I can't remember him many times.
Yeah, to my memory.
Who's 19th and 18th? So let me just put it into context. So 19th is $350,000 and 18th is $525,000.
Wow, I do feel like the Mercedes could be down there. George... Oh, but Lewis has picked up some damage. He's had damaged wings along the way. I'm trying to think who stayed out of trouble. Alonso?
Alonso's P19.
And then P18. No, I see Piastri had the collision with Lewis. They've also had different things. Do engine things going wrong count?
In all honesty, I don't know if it counts on these. But Piastri is a lot higher than you think.
Yeah, that actually doesn't surprise me. Mm. Lewis, P3.
Yeah.
Well, P18.
So, yeah, they're the least. So, who's in number one? Who's picked up the top spot so far this year?
Without a doubt, that is Logan Sargeant.
With $3.9 million. That is dollars.
Just, it's insane because I actually saw a news article today. It was James Bowles saying that they're actually suffering a little bit. They're having to reallocate vital pieces of the budget for next year because they're picking up too much damage this year.
That's $4 million they've spent on the damage.
That's a lot.
One driver. I mean, granted, Alex Albon in fifth has done $1.8 million. So yeah.
Alex has also... The thing is, Alex has been actually unlucky where he picks up. He's been crashed into quite a few times.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Logan has just been putting it in walls.
Yeah.
They're very different, so...
All right, who takes the podium? Who's P2 and P3?
Christ. You know what? Lance Stroll's got to be up there, actually, because he had that massive crash.
P2. He's had two big crashes. Do you remember he had one in Spa when he went out on slicks?
Yeah.
And then, obviously, he had the nasty one in Singapore.
Oh, Christ. And then... I'm just trying to think, has there been any big crashes? See, because I feel like the Haas boys are probably midfield-ish.
Haas boys are... where are they? 13th and 14th. They haven't even hit the million mark.
See, because I'm trying to think, like... is Nick De Vries on there?
So...
No, I reckon Nick De Vries maybe, again, is in the middle. I don't think he crashed that much.
So Nick De Vries is 12th, okay, with $1.1 million.
Yeah.
So, also interestingly... Danny Ricciardo is also in P12, joint with Nick De Vries.
Well, they have the same amount of damage.
Around the same amount of damage, they've spent.
What the hell? Yeah. Oh, well, he did have that. It wasn't that big. That
and crash. Danny Rick has only done, what, two races?
Yeah, not many.
I know, he's only done, what, one race?
He's done two races
and a one practice session.
Yeah. So that is quite mad.
Come on, you should know third. This is easy.
Is it easy?
Yeah. Even I would have got this.
Bullshit.
I would have got this.
I don't think it's Perez.
It is Sergio Perez.
No way.
Sergio Perez.
See, I didn't think he'd be that high up.
Yeah, Sergio Perez with $2.4 million.
Keep going, Checo. You know, let's affect Red Bull for next season.
Yeah. So, okay, if you're looking at that, when you're looking at... Let's just do a breakdown of the actual teams. Because obviously Williams, we know, are the highest spenders when it comes to that. Alpine are in P2. Ferrari...
Yeah, they've had a few coming togethers with each other.
Yeah. They P3 is Ferrari. Aston Martin is P4. Funny enough, Red Bull go to P5, but actually that's nothing to do with Max.
It's all Checo.
Yeah. So Mercedes are P10 with Alfa Romeo P9.
So Mercedes have had the least amount.
Least amount.
That doesn't surprise me. Neither of them have had any major crashes.
No. So, yeah, interesting that. I like it. Shall we get on to talking about the Japanese Grand Prix? So, obviously, after Singapore, we were...
Have we had no news this week?
No.
Did we speak about Tsunoda and Danny Ric getting confirmed?
No, because we didn't. Because that was, we spoke about it last year. We spoke about what we think should happen.
Yeah, but
we
now spoke about the rumor. Happened.
Yeah. Okay. Let's touch on that then. What the hell is going on here? Like, why are we having to have Tsunoda and Danny Ric when we have Lawson, who once again this weekend finished P11, finished a whole race. And he's a reserve driver for AlphaTauri next year. Granted, they're coming out...
Red Bull?
Huh? Red Bull, sorry. But I know they're guaranteeing him a seat for 2025. That's what reports have said.
But then what's Danny Ric's career goal here?
Why is he still here?
Yeah, I don't understand. I mean, give him a seat for 2024 if he's... If he's your 2025 plan, right... For Red Bull.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think he is, though.
Give him the seat for 2024 in AlphaTauri.
Yeah.
No? Not Danny Ric. But Danny Ric's a PR stunt. I mean, that's all it is. I mean, yeah, I don't think we should talk about this too much. We did have a big discussion. It is a bit of a crazy decision, in my opinion. I do think Danny Ric is good.
Yeah.
But I kind of think, well, if you're that sort of sold on Danny Ric, why don't you get rid of Perez and put Danny Ric back in the Red Bull?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, if he's that good, why are you just taking him out of AlphaTauri? It's a strange one, but... Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I think it is fair to question Red Bull's appointments because they've got a pretty terrible track record. I know that, don't get me wrong, they've picked up some of like the best drivers ever, obviously... They had Seb, they've had Max, but if you look at all the ones they've gone through in between,
yeah,
like ever since Weber left, really, and then to be honest, since Danny Ric left, it's sort of then been a revolving door of come in, go out, come in, go out.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm a bit perplexed by it really because I just think to myself, you've got a talented driver there. He has done these races. He's done them to his best of ability. He's only going to get better and better. And you're bringing someone in who's done pretty much nothing in the sport since 2021 at Monza when he got a win?
Yeah, because Max and Lewis crashed into each other and McLaren told Lando that he's not allowed to overtake him.
Yeah, so I mean... I don't quite understand the logic in it, in all honesty. But then the other aspect is, you know, what I find quite sad is there's still talks that Sargeant is likely to keep his seat. That makes no sense to me.
That really does make no sense. I mean, it would make more sense for Sargeant to go, Williams, Red Bull loan Lawson to Williams for a season.
Yeah.
Williams know they have a good driver. They've already got Albon, so they'll have stability in the team. Williams clearly want to find, like, a young driver to come in. Okay, well, take Lawson for a year.
Yeah.
You know you've got Albon secured. Take Lawson for a year. You know he'll put in the performances. And use that year to really find someone to then fill Lawson's shoes. Yeah. When then Lawson can go to Red Bull, if that's their plan. Whether that's what's going to happen or not, I don't know. You know, it's very... it would be a bit absurd for us to sit here and say, well, Lawson deserves that Red Bull seat. Because, I mean, I could probably name 6 to 7 drivers on the grid.
Yeah.
That deserve a seat at a top team before Liam Lawson.
He doesn't deserve the Red Bull seat. He deserves an AlphaTauri seat, yeah, or a Williams seat. That's what we'd do. I don't even think he will get into the Red Bull seat next year. I still have that gut feeling that Lando Norris is going to be going to Red Bull.
Yeah, well, they've been flirting, haven't they? They've been flirting a lot. God. It's quite grim. Quite grim, yeah, to watch, really. But
what also made me sad is actually with all the announcements of, you know, Zhou and Bottas being confirmed, it kind of closed the door for another season without seeing Sebastian Vettel come back.
Maybe that's Red Bull's 2025 plan.
Oh, God, can you imagine? I was really hoping he'd come back. And I think sometimes, and I know some people say, well, hang on, you're not happy for Danny Ric, but why would you be happy for Sebastian Vettel to come back? Sebastian Vettel is a different driver to Danny Ric.
Seb is a legend. Like, yeah. And this is no disrespect to Danny Ric, because he is one of the greatest personalities the grid has ever seen, in my opinion.
Personalities don't win you championships.
Yeah, he's not a legend.
No.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
he's a legendary personality on the grid, but he's not a legend of F1.
He's someone that when we're 60, 70, and we've got grandchildren that love F1,
yeah,
when they're driving in space by this time or whatever, Max is probably still winning. The grandkids will know who Sebastian Vettel is.
Yeah.
In the same way that we know who Fangio is.
But Danny Ric will still be like test driver for Haas or something. Yeah.
But they won't know who Danny Ric is, and that's my point. So, yeah, it's all, you know, it's a really likable guy, and I don't wish his career ill at all. I just think it's sort of, he's lost his chance to have a spot at a top team. And yeah. AlphaTauri works if it wasn't set up with the philosophy that it has of trying to find future Red Bull drivers.
Yeah.
So, it, you know, if it came out, oh, Haas have signed Danny Ric, I'd be like, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Good little snag that. Even Williams. Williams aren't a feeder team.
No.
You know, they had Alex Albon and Danny Ric to sort of give them experience. That makes complete sense, but not in the way that, you know, even you go back to Toro Rosso, it's always been like this. Toro Rosso, AlphaTauri, it's always been, let's find the next Red Bull driver. Yeah. People forget Max raced at Toro Rosso.
Yeah.
You know, this is how they find
Sebastian
their drivers.
Sebastian Vettel.
Yeah, that's where he won his first race.
Yeah. But I don't see how Danny Ric fits in. What is his plan here? Because Tsunoda, okay, I mean, I'm happy they've kept him for another season. I like Tsunoda. Lawson and Tsunoda make sense to me. Danny Ric, where's he going to fit into this?
Because the only way it makes sense is if they're genuinely considering him for that 2025 seat.
Which would be mental. Why? I don't.
Unless they've seen something that we don't know. I mean, you think when you had Seb and Webber there, Webber was no spring chicken.
No, but Webber still was consistent in his points he was picking up. Danny Ric.
Yeah, but I mean, Webber never like stuck it to Seb. Do you know what I mean? They might be looking at Danny Ric as...
You have no laugh. Multi-22 Seb.
It was multi-21.
Multi-21, shit.
Yeah, yeah. DTS, man. but yeah, I think our opinions are pretty solid on the AlphaTauri, yeah, Red Bull, Danny Ric stuff.
It makes no sense.
Let us know what you think. Like, do give us a DM on Instagram or drop us a line on Twitter, because, yeah, I am curious to get people's thoughts on this and try and remove the Danny Ric tinted sunglasses when you drop us a line from down under, because you need to think about this logically.
Yeah, it really doesn't really make much sense to me. So obviously Sergio Perez has come out and said he is struggling. It has been a bit of a struggle. And I get that. You know, you're mentally, you are going to struggle if you drive for the best team, your teammate is Max Verstappen, you underperform massively. It is going to take a toll.
The struggles have come from his own underperformance. Like, no matter which way, like, that's worded, or, you know, and I think it's very normal.
Yeah.
His, like, mental struggles and internal struggles have come from how he performs, and that makes complete sense. But there's no room for that in this game.
No.
You know, and that's not, like, saying, like, oh, Checo's just got a man up and, you know, like, deal with everything, but you can't bring it to the track because there's just no room for it. Like, yeah. The races do not compensate for that. There's no escaping that. You need to, how he works his way through it, I don't know. But whatever he does, you know, because we know that Perez is a very competent driver.
On his day, is a very good driver.
Yeah, and we've seen that many times over the years. And, you know, a highlight is obviously Sakir 2020, where literally...
In the racing point.
Yeah, P20, won the race. It's what got him the seat at Red Bull. But Perez has had many good races. Like, really good races.
Look what he did in the 21 season.
Yeah, the 21...
He was fundamental to Max winning the...
There was a race in 2012 where he played a blinder. I can't remember where we were.
Yeah, I can't remember where that was. I know which one you mean.
But you know, he's had multiple really good races across his career, so he needs to get back to that. I stand by the fact that if I was in charge of Red Bull, he wouldn't have a seat next season, because honestly, the whole season. I know he won two races early on, but.
Look at the tail end of last year after summer break. Up until Monaco last year, he was like going, oh, he's doing brilliant, got a new contract, and after that, he just went downhill.
Yes, I think his time, you know, is up. And I still would not be surprised if Red Bull didn't take him into the 24 season.
I wouldn't be surprised either.
That you know, because that is still entirely possible.
Yeah.
But, yeah, obviously, I hope he overcomes whatever, but at the moment, his performances are just not the level they should be. No. And I think he should lose his seat. Japan in particular was one of the worst days of driving from an individual that I've seen.
Should we get into Japan? Because after Singapore, we were thinking, okay, we're going to find out this weekend.
I thought it was fucking done. I thought they were done. I thought Red Bull were done. It was like, game over.
No. I was thinking to myself, yeah, it's just a one-off in Singapore. But people were like, no, it's definitely seen as, you know, the demise of Red Bull. But no, Red Bull were back. They were back pretty quick. You saw that in practice. It was pretty clear that actually, I mean...
Well, Max was back. Max was back.
Well, Max and Red Bull were back. And
Checo qualified P5.
That was quite good for him. Sometimes he hasn't even got into Q3, so actually P5 is quite good for him.
True.
So he's on the up. But I mean, in practice, I think some of them were like 7/10 quicker per lap, and it was just ridiculous. And you got into qualifying, and
it was like a second a lap quicker.
Yeah, it worked out that he was it sixth? He qualified Q3 on pole. Something like 6/10 quicker to Piastri and Norris.
Yeah, insane. Did you see the visualization graphic? Yeah. It's just unbelievable. But
and I'll be honest with you, when I saw that, I was thinking, I don't even want to get up for the race.
Qualifying is actually what determined whether I was going to wake up for the race or not. And
I can guarantee there's probably a lot of people like that.
I woke up and watched quali. Obviously, it's an hour later, so it's at 7, so it's fine. I watched it and I was just like, nah, no chance, I'm not waking up for that. No. I did watch the race in full without knowing the results. I hadn't seen anything. I just woke up, put it on.
Yeah.
But yeah, Fuck me.
Let's get into the race. I know normally we dissect qualifying.
I've got one interesting point about qualifying.
Yep.
Aston Martin, right? Where's their pace gone?
I don't know. I just think other cars, their upgrades have been more influential than Aston Martin's.
Okay. So how about this? Sebastian Vettel's Q3 lap at Japan last season was a tenth quicker than Fernando Alonso's this season.
In the mud.
The car's gone backwards. Yeah. I don't think it's anything to do with the teams around them. I think it's what they're doing internally. I think something's gone wrong with that car. Or they were doing something illegal with it.
No.
But where's the pace gone? The car that was the second quickest car when we started this season,
yeah,
is now... Obviously, last season it was, what, eighth slowest?
Yeah.
It's slower than it was last season.
Yeah, only on this track. All the other... I mean, I think when you look at Aston Martin, their upgrades have been quite poor. Teams like McLaren have made a massive leap.
McLaren, someone needs to do a dissertation on that team because I don't know what they've done. But... they've got a genie in a lamp or something, yeah. Because that doesn't just happen.
Mercedes
have made progress. And let's be honest here, Mercedes...
Well, if you're Lewis Hamilton, you have not really made much progress from last year.
P2 in the Constructors.
Yep.
And Lewis is going for P2 in the,
yep,
the World Drivers' Championship. That is progress. We know that fundamentally they got the concept of the car wrong. They, yeah, should have changed it after last year. They gave it another go. It didn't work. They now have done a B-spec, whatever the fuck that means, of the car. And it has made vast improvements. But the fundamental errors are still there.
Yeah.
We move into next season. I do think... I'm not saying we're going to see a car that's on par with Red Bull, by the way.
No.
But I do think we're going to see a distinctly different car to this season, and I do think it will be a better than the rest.
Yeah, I don't know. For me, McLaren, like they interviewed Zak Brown after the race, and he was like, literally, he was like, okay, you know, before it used to be quite track specific. Are you confident now? And he said, I'm very confident that actually we've nailed it in the sense of whatever track we go to, we know that we'll be performing.
Yeah, okay, so I
get that McLaren is much better than Mercedes.
At certain tracks?
No. I think, take away certain tracks, I think moving forward, how can we say that? Singapore, Lando was better than Mercedes. You know, going into Japan, McLaren was better than Mercedes. Lando finished P2.
Yeah, but George qualified P2. Lewis had a poor qualifying. And...
okay,
and Lewis actually got past Lando on the launch, but then for whatever reason, the FIA made him give the place back. So I'm not sure that's 100% true.
All right, well, but again, there's no point looking at points then, is there? Lando picked up P2, George binned it.
Well, but that's like saying, oh, well, the McLaren's a better car than Red Bull because it finished P2 in Singapore.
No, I'm talking about on consecutive tracks.
I think
that McLaren smoked Mercedes this weekend.
Yeah, okay, but if it's so, maybe the McLaren is good at every track, but the Mercedes is really good at some tracks.
Yeah, okay.
So the Mercedes, I'm saying, is inconsistent, and maybe McLaren have now found consistency.
Yeah,
but I'm saying on its day, that Mercedes is better. And, like, I will forever dispel the argument that this Mercedes is a bad car. Because it's not. It's a bad car compared to the Red Bull, and it's a bad car compared to the W10, the W11, the W12, or whatever. But it's not a bad car. They're P2 in the Constructors. Lewis Hamilton is going for P2 in the World Drivers' Championship against the Red Bull. Granted, Mercedes have two very skilled drivers, and I'm sure we're going to get onto that topic at some point as well, because that's been hugely debated. But I'm not buying, and I'm a Mercedes fan.
Yeah.
I'm not buying into the fact this car is a piece of shit. It's an inconsistent piece of shit, but sometimes it's actually a really good race car. And I do think once they've got the fundamental errors out of the car, obviously the big thing is the rear axle, rear suspension. That seems to be the biggest problem with the car. It's a bit too draggy. They can put the downforce on, but it bounces a bit too much. I think that's actually to do with the rear of the car. I think we're going to see those issues fixed next season. And then I do think it's a better car than the rest, other than the Red Bull.
Yeah, in my opinion, I think Mercedes are probably anywhere from third, fourth best car on the grid at the moment.
Yeah,
at this moment in time, when you look at it, I say
they bounce between third and second.
Yeah.
Oh, and sometimes fourth. I mean, sometimes Ferrari, that Ferrari's an unbelievable car. And do you see my point is?
It fluctuates due to track specific.
And like Zac Brown might be confident that they're quick at every track, but the issue with that is sometimes Mercedes are going to be really quick at a certain track, and sometimes Ferrari are going to be really quick at. You know, that McLaren was not a bad car at Monza.
No.
But the Ferrari was much quicker.
Yeah.
The Mercedes was quicker.
Yeah.
So. Okay, yeah, they found consistency, but I'm not sure if they found the consistency yet of where they're like definitively second best, because they will need to consistently beat McLaren, Mercedes and Ferrari in order for us to see that.
Yeah. No, you know, agree.
Suzuka, high speed corners. Where else was the McLaren really good this season? Silverstone, high speed corners.
Yep.
Where did it not perform? You know, we've seen it not perform at certain tracks.
Yeah. No, I mean, it would be interesting to see what they do in Qatar, but
Qatar, I think, will really suit them.
Yeah.
Again, we've got high speed corners. So I do think McLaren are going to have a good weekend next weekend.
Yeah. No, me too. Let's touch on the race quickly, because there's quite a bit to talk about. So, start of the race. Good start from massive shout out to Piastri, out qualified Lando, starting P2 on the front grid, front row. Brilliant for him. The start. Max got a goodish start. I'd say Lando got a bit of a better start. Obviously, when you look at the reaction speed, Lando was quicker. Max went out into the
He had to block off
Piastri, which opened the gap for Lando to go on the outside. But again, that Red Bull had too much pace just to kind of just push away a bit.
And the thing is what you can see is, like, obviously Max had the inside line, which is obviously a little bit more difficult. He's got a break earlier. And he was still able to break later. And that's the power of that Red Bull. That's also the, like, having a special driver in that car, of him trusting and knowing that he can break at the latest possible point. But it's the car's capability. You know, it's able to break so much later and still make those corners. So, it was calculated for Max. He knew he was going to hold P1. I think we all knew he was going to hold P1. A
few collisions down the straight coming together.
It was a very eventful...
Let's talk about the Perez incident. Personally, I don't think you can really blame Perez that much. I think he kind of got a bit sandwiched.
He did get a bit.
Lewis was as far as over as he could be, so there wasn't really anywhere for Lewis to go to. I'm not saying, you know,
Perez did hit him twice.
Yeah,
just one for good measure.
Just wanted to get in there, didn't he?
Yeah. You know, it was. It's difficult with those opening lap things because it does get so tight, and I think it would have been harsh for Perez to get a penalty for someone like that. But, you know, as a Lewis fan, when you're watching that, you're like, fuck it, here we go. Has he got, like, damage, puncture?
Yeah.
It would just be typical, but... Yeah,
Albon went up in the air, didn't he?
Yeah, it was really quite eventful. I can't precisely remember what happened. Did Stroll get tangled up in...
Stroll had a bit of coming together. there's so many different things, but the race was pretty, after that was pretty straightforward. However, if you're Sergio Perez, your race consisted of two nose changes, coming together with Hamilton, spinning K-Mag,
and then
retiring.
A 47 minute pit stop, was it?
Yeah, 47 minute pit stop. Retiring, then because he got a 5 second penalty, this bit I do not agree with. I think it's just ridiculous. As far as I've always known,
I literally did not think this was allowed.
No, as far as I've always known, and I've never seen it before, that when you retire a car, you're retired. You can't come back on the grid. I've never seen a car come back on. Well, I don't know if I have. I don't think I have. All of a sudden, I was watching it, and then next thing I know, Sergio Perez is getting back in the car, and I was like, "What's going on? Like, what is actually happening there?" So, for you guys who didn't watch it, basically, because Perez had a 5 second penalty, and they were worried that actually going into Qatar, he would have a grid penalty. So
he would have a 5 place grid penalty, I think, yeah. Wouldn't he?
So, according to some loophole,
Do you know what that loophole is called?
No.
£1,000 into someone's back pocket at the FIA.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. According to some loophole, he was allowed to come back onto the track, go round, pit,
to service
5 second penalty, then go back round again and then retire the car. So, that's what happened. He came on, he did that. But I don't quite understand how that one was allowed. And even the FIA have come out afterwards and said, oh, we think we're going to get rid of that loophole because it's not really fair. No shit. But did it benefit Red Bull again? Yes, it did.
It always seems to be Red Bull.
Yeah. So I don't quite understand that. And it makes me laugh when you see some of the memes going, oh, you had a double DNF for Red Bull. That must be amazing work. And then you're like,
Max still won.
Max still won. You're like, well, how did that happen? But so, yeah, I don't know.
It's crazy. I mean, that can't be a rule. But it's happened. It's what it is. No doubt Perez will crash himself out in Qatar anyway. So there's nothing we need to worry about. What we might need to worry about is a big scrap between... Lewis Hamilton and George Russell.
I watched a video earlier of when George was racing for Williams. And do you remember when it was in Hungary, he was like...
He's like, do whatever Nicky needs to...
Yeah, sacrifice myself. Yeah. I'll block off the undercut, whatever.
You see, I'm very liberal about this situation. I'm sitting on the fence about the Lewis and George thing. Because, yeah. Right...
You getting splinters?
It's a metaphorical fence.
Okay.
It's made out of clouds.
Oh, cool.
So, we'll break the Lewis and George thing down from the start, right?
Yeah.
Lewis obviously picked up a little bit of damage. It didn't seem to affect performance too much.
No.
But George got very close to him. Coming into the final chicane, George made the move. Lewis stuck with him, went round. George got in front. Lewis got the toe down the pit straight, and then overtook him. And then he did jink his car right, didn't he? He jinked it to like, and it made George jump by the looks of things. And then he got in front, but that was a fair clean move. Lewis, I'm pretty sure he then proceeded to run George wide, or was that the lap before when...
They both went wide.
Lewis ran him wide.
Yeah, yeah, but ultimately they both ended up going wide on... Well,
George had to.
Yeah, yeah.
And Lewis ran him... I mean, if that did happen to Lewis, Max did it when he tried to kill him about four times in Saudi and also Brazil.
Brazil, yeah.
But I did laugh. I was like, I like that, but that was dirty. Yeah. It was dirty. So George comes over the radio, and I kind of get it. You know, are we playing the team game here, or are we just going to fight each other? Because if you then flip it the other way around, at that point, George was clearly a bit quicker than Lewis.
Yep. It's a different strategy, yeah.
Well, at that point, they were on the same strategy, weren't they? It was very early on.
Yeah, okay.
But they didn't invert the cars then.
No.
And then obviously later on, yeah, George is on a one stop. Lewis is much quicker. Lewis has Carlos Sainz behind him, who's on the same strategy as Lewis. So again, fresher tyres, much fresher than George. Now, I kind of agree with George's point. Why not keep Lewis there? Because Lewis will have enough traction, based on the fact that his and Sainz's tyres are the same age, to get out of the corner that's the same as Sainz. And then he'll have DRS on a toe off George. And then George said, I'll give him the position on the last lap.
I don't know. I think when you look at what Lewis had got past and so has Sainz, there's a 5 second gap between him and George.
No, and Lewis was obviously much quicker.
Yeah, but okay, but this goes back to the decision making of Mercedes.
It does.
Look at Singapore. Realistically, Lewis should have been allowed to go past George. He was way quicker than George in Singapore on that last stint. What happened there? My main concern is actually, from a Mercedes point of view, Mercedes aren't being strong enough in their decision. And actually, you've got to look at it in a way of George is only on 115 points.
No,
Lewis Hamilton is fighting for that P2.
I know this.
You don't want, as far as I'm concerned, George, and I say this in the nicest possible way, is the second driver this season.
Yeah, of course.
You know, same as last year when in Brazil, Lewis had damage and, you know, realistically, if he hadn't had damage, he could have probably gone on and won that race. But they favoured George to actually go on and get that result and win.
Well, yeah, but Lewis has never... George was quicker than Lewis there.
Yeah.
So here's the thing, right?
Okay, that's a shit analogy.
That was terrible. The only thing is would this happen to Lewis? If Lewis was in that position, would they move him? I'm not entirely sure they would, so I can kind of understand why George would be a bit aggrieved by it. But if George is saying, I'll give him the position, just why don't we play the game like Sainz did last week? I know it's a different track. But why don't we just play it and see if it works? But then I do also see it from Lewis's perspective of Sainz is quick here. Let me fucking get past George and zip off. Otherwise, we might lose both positions.
And also, Lewis was so it was really close to George. All it takes is for one of them to have a collision in the corner or whatever, then you take both cars out.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And yeah, that is where the team maybe do need to be stronger. But
I feel like Lewis Hamilton has earned that right to be the number one driver.
Oh, and he should be, yeah. Particularly with the amount of points. But that
what they're trying to do at the moment is give equal opportunities to both of them. Well, actually, it doesn't work. When you have one of these teams, you have a first team driver and a second team driver, unless you're Ferrari or somewhere where you have that opportunity. Lewis Hamilton is an eight-time world champion. Eight-time world champion. He deserves a right to be favoured. Not always, I'm not saying that. But at this moment in time, in this point of the season, he is fighting for P2 in the championship. He does not need to be held up by his teammate. You know, and if I was Mercedes, you'd be looking at that. Last week in Singapore, okay, Lewis is quicker here. If he could get past Lando, that's more points for him in the championship. No, we're going to keep him behind George Russell.
Yeah, but then also, how do you take a podium off someone?
It's
different. If Lewis was going for the actual title,
yeah,
I think it would be different. But we can't be
But there's no podium. There's no podium in Japan. Let Lewis go and see what he can do.
Yeah, no, but again, from the team perspective, was George looking at it? Well, look, if Lewis can keep Sainz behind, then we can hold both these positions. As soon as Lewis goes, Sainz is going to get me.
Yeah.
So why not try and hold both positions? Then we maximize points for the team.
I don't know. I just don't think.
And
George keeps going for these ridiculous strategies, and they're not paying off.
Yeah, he does. He does pick some funny strategies sometimes.
It's like he comes out with, I know, right, what we're going to do. We're going to, if you put two mediums on the left-hand side and the hards on the right, then we'll see where we go.
Sometimes they do work.
Name a time when they've worked.
Zandvoort.
What happened in turn 4? I can't remember.
He came in the pits, didn't he?
Okay. All right. One time. But I don't... I don't know. I think George is trying to run before he can walk.
Yeah, I think George needs, at the moment. He needs to maybe settle in the team. But I think people are a bit dumb on Twitter who are like, oh, I miss Bottas. And it's like...
No, yeah, George
but Bottas wasn't driving the team forward. George is a much better driver.
Yeah, he is. 100%. But I think he just needs to realise where he is in his Mercedes career at this moment in time.
Yeah, he maybe just needs to settle in a bit more. But, you know, he's got a lot to prove and he's not going to want to go there and just be number two. Like, I can't. I just feel for him, that's all. And believe me, like, if George was P1 and Lewis was P2, I'd be praying that George had a puncture so Lewis could get the win. It, like, I feel that way about Mercedes. Like, I want Lewis to win.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm a relatively normal person in the sense of, like, I can understand George's frustration. Like, what are they going for? Like, if Lewis was going for a title, then yeah, let him through at every possible opportunity. But are they going for P2, Lewis P2 in the Drivers' Championship, or are they going for P2 in the Constructors? Because my thoughts are that George's point was actually trying to maximise points for the team.
Yeah.
And that's just my thoughts on it. But I agree, there has to be stronger decision-making at Mercedes. Because, yeah, it is poor. And you could have said the same, well, they should have... Lewis should have just let George go through earlier then.
Mm.
But, you know, apparently they had to call Toto Wolff. And it was Toto who gave the instruction to tell George to let Lewis through.
What was it?
How weak is that? Yeah. You've got no one in the team that can step in when Toto's not there because he's having like leg surgery or something. That's where he was.
Was he?
That is just pathetic. But yeah, shambles. But the race, what did you think about it generally? Obviously, we had a double McLaren podium. That was nice to see.
Yeah, I was happy for to see Piastri. I thought Piastri had a great weekend.
Isn't it funny? Do you prefer Piastri to Lando?
100%.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
But it shouldn't be like that. We're British.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's, I don't know, it's something it just irritates me.
Yeah, no, I'm exactly the same.
But I like Piastri. He seems down to earth. He's chilled. He's,
yeah, I want Piastri to respectful. Cook him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what it is with Lando. I can't take to him. I know he's got a lot of fans.
Well, we said this before. It's just his.
You know,
and don't get me wrong. There's arrogance in Lewis, and he's had that and everything when earlier in his career. But
yeah, but Lewis came in, won a race in what is seventh race or something, sixth race. Came P2 in the championship in his first year, 1 point behind Kimi Raikkonen, level with his teammate in the same machinery. Two-time champion Fernando Alonso. And then the next year, he went on to win against Felipe Massa in a Ferrari.
Well, it was a new record, wasn't it, for Lando this weekend? So he's collected the most points within F1 without getting a win.
Don't you really want Piastri to get a win before him as well?
I wouldn't even be surprised if it happens, if Piastri gets a win before him.
This also, you know, Lando is a really good driver. Don't get me wrong, but... Yeah, I do think there's a bit too much ego there, and I just don't really think he's got a likable personality.
No, but on the other hand, I saw someone say, I mean, to be an F1 driver, you have to have an ego, don't you? If you're to a certain extent, but then I disagree with that because you look at Albon. I love Albon. Yeah, I think he's brilliant.
You can be humble still. Yeah. I mean, you know, there's knowing you're good, and then there's thinking that you're like above people.
Yeah.
I kind of get that vibe from Lando.
Yeah.
Obviously, I don't know him personally. Honestly, I'm not really interested in that either.
No.
But my vibe that I get from him is that. But, yeah.
Just touching on earlier, what we were to discuss earlier about Perez coming back onto the grid. Do you remember, and I saw a tweet about this, obviously Silverstone last year when Joel had that horrible crash.
Do you know why George Russell couldn't come back out?
No.
Is that what you're going to talk about?
Yeah.
Because the marshals handled his car.
Yeah. I remember now.
So because the marshals had intervened, that's why he was unable to.
But it's right for Perez's team to basically just refix it and everything and just send it back out.
Well, yeah, because the team are allowed to fix the car.
That's what I mean.
What's ridiculous is that he was allowed to retire the car and then unretire it. I mean, that's just dumb. But like, yeah, I mean, you know, they could have just done a 47-minute pit stop with Perez sitting in the car while the team worked on it.
Yeah.
That I would understand.
Yeah.
That, you know, he's not retired. He's just sitting there. They're fixing the car. That I would completely understand. But what you can't say is like, nah, we're out. Actually, wait. 48 minutes later.
Talking about long stops and everything, I don't know what Mercedes are trying to do, whether they're just giving up on their pit stops or just don't really care. But their pit stops are getting longer and longer.
They are, on average, the 7th slowest team in the pit stops.
Well, I mean, how do you get to that point of being a top team if you're not going to sort your pit stops out? That's just ridiculous.
Yeah, no, they do need to work on it. That is something they need to fix up big time.
Yeah, Pierre Gasly had a little hissy fit at the end, which I don't quite understand. It was P9 and 10, so...
Yeah, it was irrelevant and it was very unjustified.
Because he...
Ocon gave him the position.
Yeah.
And it... So I think Gasly was 2 seconds behind Ocon.
Yep.
They were told to invert positions because Gasly was quicker to see if he could chase down whoever. By the time we got to the last corner of the last lap, Ocon was 2.6 seconds behind Gasly. So, yeah, it was sort of nothing. And then they said, well, you've got to give the position back.
Mm.
So, yeah. Makes sense. I guess he was a bit annoyed because he started in front. He got undercut by Ocon. It probably felt like the team shafted him a little bit. Yeah. But I think he'll probably look back and be like, well, yeah, I kind of get it. Like,
I don't know how many hand gestures he did at the end of it. But
yeah, I don't know who he was swearing at. He had his middle finger up, but there was no one there.
Yeah, no, I don't quite understand it. Solid weekend for Leclerc. I thought he did well, P4.
Yeah, Ferrari were, and Sainz was quick at the end as well.
Yeah.
Ferrari, they're just chipping away. You know, Lando Norris is now ahead of George Russell in the World Drivers' Championship.
They're on the same points, but yeah.
But yeah.
He's had higher finishes.
Yeah. Is it like 108 points or something like that?
115.
Interesting. Mm. I think McLaren could also finish ahead of Aston Martin.
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty confident that will happen.
Courtesy of Stroll, obviously.
Yeah, exactly, 100%. But on a whole, I thought I would give the race a 4 out of 10.
Yeah. I'll give it a 5 for the beef that we got from...
Yeah.
Well, a 5 because Perez made it funny. Lewis and George, that little Mercedes drama gave us a good bit after the race to sort of dive into. And then Gasly aimlessly throwing his middle finger around was also pretty good. But yeah, other than that...
I thought it was pretty of a boring race.
Yeah, pretty tedious. We are off to Qatar the week after this week. Yeah. Next week. Yeah, often referred to as next week. We're going to Qatar.
But let us know what your thoughts were on the race. Congratulations again to Red Bull. It is a very... dominant season, and fair play to Max Verstappen. He could be champion in the sprint race at Qatar.
Do you know where he needs to finish?
I think it's third.
P6 or higher.
Oh, is it? P6, yeah.
So I reckon, yeah, Max is going to bottle it. I still think Lewis can win the championship this year.
Yeah, you're talking shit.
Imagine though, right? It could genuinely... imagine if Max... I'm going to touch wood because I genuinely don't want this to happen to him. And I'm winking at Matt. I seriously don't. But imagine if, like, something happened. He gets in a car accident. He's got, like, a double leg break from this point.
Yeah.
He's out for the season. Imagine how mad that would be.
That would be mad.
Because he genuinely... He could still very much win it.
Yeah.
On the basis that no one else makes it to 400 points. Or he could genuinely lose it.
I don't think that'll happen, but...
I think would Perez have to win, like, every single race?
Which is impossible. Perez can't even get on the... Perez can't even get P2, so...
Yeah, that is true. Max could genuinely just take the rest of the season off. And just watch it unfold, and then, like, if it gets close, just come back for the last race.
Right, Abu Dhabi, Michael Massey, Max.
You know what, to be fair, this time he wouldn't actually need Massey.
No, yeah, true.
He's still probably cool on him.
Yeah. Right? So, yeah, he can win in Qatar, which I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to having Qatar back on the calendar. I like the track. Obviously, last time out was Lewis Hamilton, who won that. We've only been there once. But,
yeah.
I am expecting a Red Bull dominance. I mean,
Lewis dominated that race.
I am expecting a Red Bull dominance this weekend, though, that weekend.
Yeah, for sure. But I do think McLaren are going to be really good here as well. I think we'll see much of a likeness like we saw in Japan. I'm expecting a pretty poor offering from Aston Martin again.
Yeah. I'm expecting Ferrari to be quite good.
Yeah.
I think they're coming quite consistent now.
Yeah, I think the Mercedes will be there, but I do think they'll struggle the most out of the, let's call them the top four.
Yeah.
Like it's football. But apparently we are getting some Mercedes upgrades.
I can't deal with this.
At Austin.
Like, guys, if you were sitting here watching, Luke talks about these upgrades like they're literally rocket ship type upgrades. And
they're coming.
He smirks like he's so excited. I'm like, give it a break. He's been talking about upgrades since 2022. And
it's a new floor. Ones. New floor, I'm hearing.
A new floor?
Yeah.
Okay. No, I don't believe it.
It's all in preparation for the W15, the fastest car ever made. But yeah, that does pretty much wrap this episode up, I believe. We're not even here next week. Well, Matt's not here. I'm here. I'll just do it on my own.
All right. You want to do a podcast on your own?
Psych.
Yeah.
No, there'll be no podcast next week.
I'm away for a few days, so I will not be around next week.
Oh, where are you going?
Nice.
Nice.
Hey. Very good. Very good. But no, get in touch. Let us know what your thoughts are on the race. As I said, we will be back reviewing the Qatar Grand Prix.
Yeah.
Are you there? Because you're away the next 3 weekends, aren't you?
I'm at a wedding and it's Bruce's brother's, so yeah, I'm not, or I won't be able to watch anything on, well, I could stream it on my phone. I'll probably do that.
Yeah.
I'll watch quali on my phone. Depending on how practice has been, I'll be able to watch the race on Sunday, but I'll probably, bit of a vegetable.
Is this on, not this, is on the race weekend, is it the wedding
next week? Yeah, I'm at the stag this weekend.
Are you? Where's that?
Like, we've rented a mansion out somewhere.
Nice. Do you pay?
Well, we all paid.
Yeah,
for two nights. It was, there's, bear in mind, there's 30 of us, and for two nights it cost £350 each.
Christ.
Yeah,
I bet you hated that. You hate spending money on other people.
Well, I get to stay there. I'm not putting him up.
Yeah, I know.
It's not like we have to sleep outside.
The room is just his.
Yeah, it's just one big
you're in
room.
A tent. You're in a tent. I swear the later we do these podcasts, the more tired I get towards the end of the podcast and I don't really remember what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it is getting, it's bedtime now. Well, it's actually shower time. I'm a bit sweaty after 30.
Yeah, it's what, 10 o'clock?
10 o'clock.
And I'm old. So guys, have a great week. We'll be back, as I said, after the Qatarian Grand Prix. Can you say that? Qatarian?
It's Qatari.
Qatari Grand Prix.
But you would just call it the Qatar Grand Prix.
Yeah, I don't really know where I was going with that.
Like the British Grand Prix?
I don't really know where I was going with that.
You it's could late. Be like a Qatari. That would, you know, you're Qatari. I'm Qatari.
Yeah. Yeah, ignore everything I just said. We'll be back reviewing that race. Have a great week. Luke, well done on scoring earlier, by the way. You did well.
Yep, and make sure you enjoy your nice holiday.
I will. Right, take care, everyone. See you later. Bye-bye.